Lord is in his holy temple. My rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. The opening hymn is 205, Thine is the Glory, 205. The opening prayer. Father, we thank thee for gathering us for worship, on this Lord's Day, the day of resurrection, where we remember how death was conquered. For the first time in human history, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was risen victorious over death. And Father, we thank Thee that this life of the resurrection, the spirit of holiness, is accorded to all who believe in the finished work of Christ. And Father, we come in that merit, standing before Thee as Thy blood-bought children. Bless our worship. Thank Thee for bringing us safely through yet another week. May this worship renown to Thy honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving, through the name of Jesus Christ, who while on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Glory be. Please be seated. The reading of God's word is taken from Genesis chapter 43. Genesis chapter 43 and verse 1 to 14. Genesis chapter 43 and verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. And if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether he had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? Verse 8, And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee. Then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best of the fruits in the land, in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sex, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the men. Verse 14 in unison. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Amen. Thank God for the reading of His most precious word. Now, we shall sing another hymn, 351, He Leadeth Me, seated. Thank you. Our memory verse can be found in your order of worship, Isaiah 49 verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Isaiah 49 verse 13. Shall we recite together? Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Isaiah 49:11. Amen. Let's take a moment to commit this precious verse into memory. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Isaiah 49:13. Amen. Thank God for this precious verse. Now we shall be giving our tithes and offering. The offertory hymn is 67. Praise the Savior. Praise the Savior. 67. Let us arise for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this privilege of giving. We thank Thee for this tithes and offerings that Thy people have brought before Thee in holy worship. May Thou be gracious to receive and multiply them for the furtherance of the gospel work in this church. Father, we pray that Thou would bring forth the gospel from here till the uttermost parts of the earth. May Thou bless every cheerful giver. This I ask with much thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and our message, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, is 338. Show me Thy way, O Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for gathering Thy people. So great a privilege that Thou hast accorded us, that we may come to Thee, quiet of the sanctuary, to call upon Thee. For Thou hast promised, call upon Me, and I will answer Thee and show Thee great and mighty things which Thou knowest not. Father, we come to bless Thee, that Thou may bless our soul as we remember all that we have received out of thee over the past week. Indeed, without thee, we would have perished, and without thee, we would not be sustained in strength to be in thy house today to worship thee. So, Lord, we give thee all praise and thanks. We come entering into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise, to be thankful unto thee, to bless thy name. Father, we pray and commit to thee the great commission that thou hast entrusted to thy church here, and as thy church would gather for the gospel rally next Lord's Day, we pray, Lord, that thou would be gracious to bless this occasion, that thy spirit may have free reign, and thou be gracious to bring souls to our midst, that the gospel may be preached, that souls may be saved. O Father, we pray and ask that thou would strengthen the hands of thy people, for thou hast said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. We pray and commit to thee Christine, that thou would grant to her a healthy right eye pressure. Father, we pray also for Victor Ng, that thou would strengthen him during this time of sickness. Father, we do not know his condition, the state of his well-being, but we would like to commit it into thy hand to strengthen and to keep her. Father, we pray also, commit to thee Madam Chua, who has got food poisoning. We pray for thy mercy to heal her and to strengthen her and to bless her for thy own mercy's sake. Father in heaven, we pray for Jenny Hu, that thou would be gracious to grant her remission of a late stage lung cancer. And we pray also for Marie, that thou would grant to her thy presence as she goes about the kidney dialysis treatment from home. May thou grant to her a well-managed blood pressure condition. We also pray for Sister Lucy, that thou grant to her a controlled diabetic condition and improve the blood circulation in her legs. Father in heaven, we pray and commit to thee thy people. We remember Naveen and Shi Yi, that thou would be gracious to protect them and grant to Naveen and Shi Yi thy wisdom to train up Clara and Asher in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father in heaven, we pray for Daniel and Lucas in NS training. We pray for thy protection and grace upon them. Father, continue to protect this nation. Grant peace and righteous governance in Singapore, that the gospel will continue from here and beyond these shores. We pray for thy protection from terrorism, from haste, from pestilences. Father, may thou be gracious to strengthen thy people. And we pray that thou would grant that thy people may love to read and to meditate upon thy word, to keep thy commandments and to do thy good will. O Lord, we pray that the prayer life of thy people may be revived in the power of the Holy Spirit for thy honor and glory. Strengthen thy people as we wait upon thee in the quiet meditation of thy holy word. May thy Spirit illumine, guide us, and bless our worship for thy own honor and glory. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God moves in a mysterious way is the title of our message, taken from Genesis chapter 43 and verses 1 to 14. The work of God in the lives of his people is often a mystery to his people. Perhaps from hindsight, we could see how life has developed itself. God has led us through every turn and event of life. But very often in life, you would notice that throughout our lifetimes, the happenings that take place remain a mystery to us. When we will see our Lord in heaven, well, perhaps we can inquire directly to Him for an answer. Such is life with God. William Cowper, the writer of the hymn, illustrates for us the mysterious workings of God in his life. And it is most interesting when William Cowper was keenly aware of the truth that God moves in mysterious way. And it was written that how his life was an accumulation of pain. Of pain, but accumulated in such a way that it becomes most unbearable, difficult, especially mental pain. And this hymn, trusted by faith, persevering, shows us the providence of God in his life. Cowper was born in 1731 in Berkhamsted, England. His mother died when he was age 6, leaving him to be raised by his father. Unfortunately, it seemed that he had an unhealthy relationship with the father, and with the difficulties contributed when his father pushed him to practice law. He would abandon his career in the early 30s. The mental pain that Cowper struggled with in his life was depression. And he had many major battles in his life, leading him to attempt suicide on several occasions. He was never successful. However, God would preserve his life until his death at the age of 69. It was at the time, 1764, that he became a believer. How did he come to know God? Well, he was in a mental asylum, in St. Albans Insane Asylum. And there, in a mental hospital, he happened upon a Bible. It was on the bench in the garden. And he opened it. And there he saw Romans 3:25, that opened his eyes to the goodness of Jesus and the sufficiency of his atoning work. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So after his conversion, Cowper came to know John Newton. You remember John Newton, the man who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace? How he was a sailor turned a missionary, and God saw in, and we see God brought the two men together. And John Newton saw Cowper had a melancholic demeanor, was reclusive. And so he drew him into a ministry of visitation as much as he could. And they would take long walks together between the homes, and they would talk of God and his purposes for the church. Then in 1769, Newton got an idea to collaborate with Cowper on a book of hymns for their church. And so they wrote a hymn, 208 hymns. Cowper wrote 68, the rest by John Newton. And one of the hymns that Cooper would write, God moves in a mysterious way. Also, there is a fountain filled with blood, a familiar hymn, all for a closer walk with God. You see that the hymns that he would write are so precious. We would sing later, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and writes upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smile. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smile. How often life confronts us with a frowning providence, as it was with Jacob's family at this time of their life in Genesis chapter 43, when they were faced with a famine, and how that famine was sore, the travail was great. They were without food, or food was running out. As we make sense of the words of this hymn, we reflect on the predicament of Jacob in his old age. God has caused the famine to come so severe that it would force him to leave the promised land and go down to Egypt for their subsistence. It was a move by necessity. Circumstances were such, food was running out, and the family would perish if nothing is done. But there was food in Egypt. Here, we would like to see two thoughts before us. The force of circumstances. It seems the situation so grim that they had no choice but to leave the promised land and go there down to Egypt. And they knew the supplier of grain had made unreasonable demands of them, asking that the youngest child, Benjamin, would be brought down to Egypt. They could not understand why. Why must the youngest child be brought down? They knew that the famine was sore. They would have to make a bit to save themselves. Did Jacob pray when he was confronted with this? No more food on the table. So you just imagine the food, the rice sack is running low. They are down to their last few cups of rice. But a large household, how do you sustain? Where to find food? There was no food in the land. Food was scarce because the famine was sore. As you think about Jacob and his life, did not God promise to bless him? Why is it that in his latter life, such grief has to come to him? He faced the prospect of losing all his sons, trying to find food for the entire family. And as you think about it, we want to contemplate why certain times there is a force of circumstances in our life. That there is only a path that is open for us this way. No other way out. This is the only path. Did we seek the Lord? Have we not prayed? Were we not on our knees? I believe the family had prayed. They have sought the Lord. And still there was no way out. There was only one solution. That is to go down to Egypt. As you think about it, as we contemplate what God is doing there in that famine. We see here there is a mixture of fear and hope, in the sense that if they would go to Egypt, then would Benjamin be lost? Already one of the sons has been put in prison. Would the rest also find harm there in Egypt? But the situation was grave. It was most forbidding. It seemed that they had no choice now, because it would be more painful to die of hunger if nothing is done. So our text tells us in verse 1, as we think about the forces of circumstances that sometimes come in our life, it seemed no way out, no solution, but only one way. But that way seems so dark. What do we do? God indeed moves in a mysterious way. Verse 1 of our text says, "And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, 'Go again and buy us a little food.'" The food supply has gone down. And they were supposed to go. And yet, they knew that to go down, little Benjamin would have to go with them. And Judah said to the father, verse 3, "The man did solemnly protest unto us, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" Why was Jacob hesitant to let Benjamin go? Because he has lost one of his sons, Joseph, 22 years ago. And this was the only son left of his beloved wife, Rachel, who had died. So here, Jacob's heart seemed to be broken, in a sense that if he sends the son away, he stands to lose that son. But if he doesn't choose to bring the son, well, let the son go, then they would all perish. It is in those times of a dilemma. We are in a situation between a hard place and a wall, a rock. It seems both ways are no good. What do we do? Well, it is in those darkening times that God is working something mysterious, as it were. What was God doing? God was planning to move the family from the promised land into Egypt, so that they would be isolated. They would be brought to a fertile piece of land called Goshen. And there the nation, the people of 70 in the family, will multiply in 400 years to 4 to 2 million people. God has a great plan to fulfill the promise that was given to Abraham 2 generations ago. Remember, God said to Abraham that his descendants will be like the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. Well, God is going to fulfill it, but there seemed to be a frowning providence, dark clouds, for them to go down to Egypt. What will befall them? You see, that road down to Egypt is a precarious one, filled with danger, a rough road. And there, to a foreign land, to an unknown land, there are many question marks. There are many many things that can come unforeseen. So a fertile imagination would think that, ah, what would be for us? It would be so tough, isn't it? Well, it was the unknown that is happening. And God often puts us, brings us, forced us into certain circumstances by which He would lead us in a certain way. The man called John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, he said this: I was made to see that if ever I would suffer rightly, I must first pass the sentence of death upon everything that can be properly called a thing of this life. Even to reckon myself, wife, my children, my health, my enjoyment and all as dead to me and myself dead to them. How do you see it? How do you see your life? Well, Bunyan said that God wants me to see all this that I have to be dead to all these things. In other words, it is in the will of God that this would be taken away from us. Then blessed be the name of the Lord. To live upon God and the invisible, he did not lament as he had to go into prison. He spent more than 10 years in prison. But in prison, he wrote the epic Christian literature that is read most popular next to the Bible, The Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote it in those dark times in the dungeon of the prison. God was leading him there, and it is as it were, he had to leave his family, his wife, his children to be there in that dungeon. But God was doing something. And so you see here, God was doing something in the lives of His people, Israel, to lead them into Egypt. Verse 7, and they said, the men ask us straightly of our state and our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? So they said, the men ask us questions, and so we answer them. We answer him according to what he had asked. How should we know that he would demand that our youngest brother would have to be brought down to Egypt? And so here, as we contemplate and think about what God is doing here in the lives of His people, we realize here that indeed there is movement of God, awakening of the conscience of the hearts of the sons of Jacob, in which God will see them, teach them to cherish and love one another. Verse 8, and Judah said to the father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and our little ones. So Judah speak to the father very logically, try to reason with the father why Benjamin should go. I will be a surety for him, of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring not unto thee and set him before thee, let me bear the blame forever. So he says to the father, father, I'm going to take care of my brother. You see, they have been quite wayward and wanton, isn't it? They have lost one of the brother. Joseph was lost 22 years ago, and the father was still grieving for that son that was lost. And so the father was reluctant. Did he suspect when he saw the coat of blood? Remember the coat of many colors that he gave to his son Joseph, that is coated with blood, that was brought to the father?
And the words that the son said to him, did Jacob suspect anything all these years?
Well, as you see from the text, his reluctance to release Benjamin would have been a sign at how he trusted not this other sons of his. But here, there is an awakened conscience that has come to the hearts of the brothers, and Benjamin would have to go, and Judah now, we said, the elders now, right? Reuben is root out, Simeon is in prison there in Egypt, and he being next in the line, he spoke to persuade the father in order that the father would allow them to go. So how did Jacob respond to this family predicament? Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. It was a decision out of necessity. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. So he had a responsibility as the patriarch of the family to take care of the family and to provide for the family. And here he would want to be continue to be a man of faith before God. And so he said to the son, verse 11, if it must be so now, then go. The forced circumstances that is set before us, and the faith to submit to God's will, the faith to submit to God's will. This is the way that is open for them, but it seemed a dark way. Would they go or should they not go? Well, Jacob reasoned, although he had fear, but there is also hope. You see, these are two things that we weigh in the times of decision making: the fear that confronts us, and the hope, the prospect of getting food. And so the Lord guided him, right, that if he will not provide for his own, then that's terrible. All were perished. So he made the decision that they would go. And how did he make that decision? Well, he said to them in verse 11, take of the best fruits in the land in your vessel, carrying down a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds, and take double money in your hand. So what was he doing? He says that since I have to make that way, I have no other choice. Right? We will perish if we stay still here. The way open, the only way open is down there in Egypt. And so if we have to go down to Egypt, then let us make the best of it. And what is the best of it? Well, Proverbs 18 verses 16 says, a man's gift maketh a room for him and bringeth him before great men. So you prepare a gift, the best that is available in the promised land, the kind of fruits that are not available in Egypt. So he would use the wisdom that God would give him in that circumstances, though it seemed dark. But they had to do something. He had to make the best of it. Proverbs 21 verse 14 says, a gift in secret pacifies anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. So here you see they were prepared to go, and Father said, take double money, bring the best of gifts that you have. You know what? Make the best of the situations that is before you. What do you have? The wisdom that God gives us, practical wisdom. This is what they could do in those circumstances. They are not sure why the only way for them is down Egypt. But we know why. Because Joseph, the son, is there. He is the one who is a supplier of grain. If they would go down, then they would have all the grain they would need. They would ever need. But Benjamin is the blood brother of Joseph. Would Joseph harm Benjamin? Of course not. But did they know that Joseph was there as the supplier of grain? They did not know. The providence seemed to be so dark, as it were, that Benjamin would have to go. Would he be imprisoned? Would he be caught a spy? So there are certain times in life whereby circumstances opens to us is such that it seems so dark. And we don't know what is ahead. Is it dark? Or is it a path of light? A way out for us? Well, this was what God was leading them into. So Jacob tearfully agreed that they would go down to Egypt. And here we see how oftentimes we fight off the good hand of God leading us. God is leading us in a good way. It was constrained by His love that He's bringing us that way. And yet we could not see it in that circumstance that is surrounding the issue. We just could not understand. And so the Lord, through this scripture, brings for us the situation in our lives whereby here they had to make a decision. And so they make a decision, Jacob make a decision to trust the Lord. He says in verse 14, at the end of it, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. In other words, there is danger ahead, supposed danger, and yet we have to, as it were, take the risk. Take the risk. And bear the risk. You remember it, in the book of Esther, when Haman caused the emperor, the Persian emperor, to make the decree to kill all the Jews in the land. Then Mordecai, the foster father, said to Esther, you have to do something. Perhaps you are raised for such a time as this. And so Esther says, yes, I'm going to go before the king. I'm caught. In other words, if she goes and the king didn't call her, she risked being put to death immediately. So she said, you all hold a 3-day fast for me, and I would go before the king. If I perish, I perish. So there are times when the Lord will lead us, as it were, on a death mission. In a circumstances whereby we have no choice, we know we have to go, we know the risk involved, we know the price that has to maybe have to be paid, but we have to take that path. This was what they were confronted with. And Jacob, in his moment of testing, by faith submitted to the will of God. He says in verse 14, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved, or my children, I am bereaved." So he says that you go. What must we do during those times of uncertainty, during those times of, as it were, calamity? Well, turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 5 to 7. What did Jacob just do in verse 14? He committed himself and his family to the Lord. There is no other way. If they don't go, they will perish. But if they go, then there's a big risk involved. What do you do? Commit your way to the Lord and go. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man which bringeth devices to pass." So although he may be confronted with a man that would want to take their lives when they would go down to Egypt, but that is the only path that God has opened for them. So they have to go. And here you see Jacob committing himself, his family, into his hand. And as we think about the decision that he's going to have, or that he's making, isn't it fraught with tears? That he was already so grieved to have lost one son, and now there is a prospect that he would lose the other son also. He has already lost his wife, his beloved Rachel and Joseph, and now Benjamin. The psalmist says in Psalm 56 verse 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottles. Are they not in thy book?" In other words, in those circumstances in life whereby providence seemed to be so dark against us, when situations seem to be so bleak, as it were, and we cry to God, well, God knows what we are going through. God kept every drop of our tear, as it were, in a bottle. God knows what we are going through. And here, the Lord speaks to us that He understands the afflictions of His saints. And He will go through to teach them faith and dependence and surrender. It is during these times of testing that we learn to depend on Him, we learn to surrender to Him, and we learn to find succor and comfort from Him in our affliction. So they had to commit themselves to God and said, "Okay, we will go," not knowing what is ahead of them. The mysterious providence of God. Sometimes God leads us in certain way, through certain forced circumstances. It's as if we have no choice. We are pushed into it. And yet, God is working out something good. It is a journey of blessing rather than cursing as the story unfolds. The mysterious hidden smile of God behind a frowning providence. May God teach us the faith to trust Him even when the way ahead seems dark and wearisome. Let us have the courage to walk on. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. Strengthen the hearts of Thy people with faith to submit to Thy will and to commit our lives to Thee for Thy own mercy's sake. O Lord, may Thou strengthen Thy people and comfort Thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn, "Let us arise." God moves in a mysterious way. To Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. service is now over.